Good morning, Genesis Metro Church. How are we doing? It's Sunday, man. I'm so happy to be worshiping with all of y'all. Give it up for the band for leading us in worship today. It's the year of worship. Man, you know what that means? That means we anticipate God to do some awesome things through his people at Genesis Metro Church. Pastor Tim says he thinks this is going to be the greatest year ever at GM. And that gets me excited. I don't know about you. Like, I'm so excited to see what God has in store for us this year, and I hope you're excited too. I got a new shirt yesterday. Yeah, yeah. FC Dallas kicked off their season last night with a nice little victory, a little W. Yeah, a little good. Good to start with a W. We got a picture from last night. I think we do. Come on, let's see it. We got it. We got it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Please. 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 We got it. No? There it is. There it is. Just a little snapshot of the victory last night. Some of y'all are not soccer fans. I know. But when I get the chance, you know, just let me just indulge a little bit. A brand new kit design this year. Kind of a throwback to the old days and all the team wearing it proudly. New season, new players, new challenges ahead. We kind of got a new coach. He's fired up. He's getting the best out of these guys. And I'm so excited about what the future holds for our team this season. And we're starting off with a win. That's so great. Can you imagine if one of those players pulled up to the stadium yesterday wearing last year's kit design? Can you imagine if one of the players came up to the coach and said, "Hey, coach, I don't like this new design. I've decided I'm not going to play in that new kit. I'd rather wear the one from last year." Does anybody know how that conversation might go? Like, even if it's the best player, Petr Musa, like, he's like, as good as he is, he's part of the team. If he comes to the coach and says, "Hey, coach, I just want to wear last year's kit. It was ugly. But I just want to wear that one," right? The coach is going to say, "No, I don't care who you are. I don't care how important you are. I don't care what a great player you are. We're a team. We have a new season, a new design, a new destination, and you're not going to wear something that reminds me of last year's terrible season," right? Anybody tracking? Because you can't represent where you're going while dressed in where you've been. So today we're going to talk a little bit about putting on, dressing where God is taking us. And in order to do so, we're going to have to leave off where we've been. We got to leave off where we've been. Pastor Tim has done an awesome job of casting the vision and taking us through the Day of Atonement, all the sacrifices, all the things that the priests did that pointed to Jesus, right? A lot of sacrifices, a bull sacrifice, a lamb sacrifice, a scapegoat that takes away or symbolizes the taking away of guilt from the people, and then the ram offering, right? All of these things that the high priest did to tell us that Jesus fulfills it, to point us in the direction. It was a beautiful system. It was a system that God detailed very precisely. This is what you do. This is when you do it. These are the steps that you go through all along. And these people are thinking, okay, we have to do everything we can to follow the procedure, follow the process exactly, right? And it was beautiful and it was meaningful. But Jesus came on the scene and said, "Yeah, I fulfill all of that." Right? Now we approach God in holiness. We approach him with reverence and awe because the word of God says God is a consuming fire. We bow down before him. We want to follow his ways. And the high priest did as good as he could because does anybody remember what happens if he doesn't? Yeah, yeah, death. That's a vivid image that Pastor Tim presented the last couple of weeks. Imagine, right? Walking in and just dropping because you haven't made your heart right. So God takes worship very seriously. Would you agree? He takes his presence very seriously. In fact, he takes it so seriously that he did everything that was necessary to bring us into his presence. And that everything is Jesus. A system of religion will never get you to where God wants you to be, but Jesus can. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 16 about all the processes, all the altars and all the sacrifices. But it also tells us a little bit about what the priest actually looked like. You want to call it a uniform? You can call it a uniform. Like, he was dressed in holy attire. It was nicer than this, probably as nice as this is. When people saw the priest, they knew who he was. I'd like to ask if we could throw up Pastor Tim's image of the priest, just to kind of rekindle your memory of what the priest looked like. So, again, these are high priestly garments. These are important. You have embroidered garments. You have a breast piece with 12 different stones that represents the 12 tribes of Israel, a blue robe with bells and pomegranates on it, a tunic and a sash, and then on the turban, a gold plate that says, "Holy to the Lord." So listen, when you saw this guy, right, you knew who he was, right? This was holy attire that God demanded for the high priest to wear. On the Day of Atonement, this is what he wore. But there's something peculiar in the text, because in Leviticus 16, it tells us that when the high priest entered into the tabernacle, before he entered into the Holy of Holies, the Bible says you're supposed to take all that stuff off before you enter into the presence of God. Leviticus 16:4 says it like this. It says, "He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on." So get the picture. He's dressed and adorned with all the beautiful adornment that you could possibly imagine. Everybody recognized him when they saw him because that's what he does. He was a high priest. He was a mediator for the people. But before he came into the presence of God and sprinkled the blood and applied the blood, God said, "You got to change your clothes into simple, plain, white linens." Does that tell you something about the way our God expects us to enter into his presence? Does that tell you a little something about what God anticipates, what God requires? It tells me a little bit that God is not impressed with our outward adornment. God is not impressed with how many bells and whistles and gold things we can accumulate, because when we come into his presence, all he requires is that he is the Holy One and we are not. A simple linen garment. So the Talmud says that this linen represented plainness, simplicity, holiness, right? No jewels, no gold, no adornment. And he offered the atoning sacrifice to God. And then the Bible says that once he got done with all of that, he was to take off all the linen, fold it up, and leave it inside. And then come back out and get redressed in his garments. This is verse 23 and 24 of Leviticus 16. It says, "Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garment he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in the sanctuary area and put on his regular garments." The linen garments would be collected, folded, and just stacked. And if you kind of think about the logistics here, he has to take them off and then put them there, and then he has to go out. So you can imagine there, unless they're careful, there's a collection of linen garments not to be used again every year, year after year after the Day of Atonement. What this tells me is that when we approach God in holiness, when we approach God in worship, he is the one who defines how we approach him. That we are not free to come to God on our terms. We're not free to customize our worship. We're not free to customize our holiness. We are simply to surrender to the way of God and approach him in humility. This, for me, means that I'm not in control, right? How many of you love being in control? I want to be in control of everything. I want to control my pocketbook. I want to control how much I spend, what I wear, right? I want to control how I spend my time and my energy and all my resources. But when it comes to the worship of our Creator God, He's saying, I don't need any of that. I need all of it. I don't need any one part. I need you to surrender to what I've called you to do. You are invited to my presence through the blood of Jesus, but you're going to come through the blood of Jesus. And not a system, not a religion. It's God's way or no way. Aaron did not improvise his access to God. He removed the glorious garments, entered in plain linen. He didn't have jewels or gold or jewelry or anything like that, because when we stand before a holy God, our status disappears. A lot of times we think, well, I'm a critical component. I'm a key ingredient. I'm an important person when it comes to the church or the kingdom of God. And you may be, but when we all gather at the feet of Jesus, it is a level playing field. Well, we are all washed in the blood. He doesn't need our status. He doesn't need our gold and our charms and our jewelry. He just needs us to surrender to His will. The closer you get to God, the less impressing becomes important, and the more confessing becomes important, acknowledging who we are before Him. Pastor Tim has done an awesome job showing us these rituals and how they relate to Jesus. One thing he kept on saying, though, if you'll remember, and if you haven't watched it, please go back and watch it. It is very powerful. But one thing Pastor Tim kept repeating is that if the process has to be repeated year after year, what does that tell you about the process? In other words, if every year on the Day of Atonement I've got to go in and I've got to do all the same things over and over again, has it really taken care of my guilt? If something has to be repeated, then it is not completed. And so Pastor Tim has done an awesome job showing us that all of this points to Jesus. Jesus came on the scene and He said, I did not come to abolish or take away the law. I came to fulfill it. And as we read Leviticus 16 in the Old Testament, we see over and over and over again how it is pointing to Jesus. When He came, He satisfied, He fulfilled the law of God. And I'm here to tell you today that even down to the linen garments, because the Bible says that Jesus was betrayed, He was arrested, He was falsely accused, He was beaten, He had a crown of thorns pressed onto His head. The Bible says that He was laid upon a cross and nailed there to die. The Bible says that they took a spear and they pierced Him, and His blood and water flowed from His body. All of that as a sacrifice for our sin. And then the Bible says that they took Him down from the cross and they laid Him in a tomb. And guess what they put on His body in the tomb? They put linen. The Bible says that the disciples came to the tomb. They had not yet believed. They had not fully grasped His resurrection. And so they came to the tomb and they expected to find a closed tomb, or at least the body of Jesus. But when the disciples got to the tomb, what they discovered is that it was empty, that He had risen. He was there for 3 days and He rose from the grave. And so I want to direct your attention to John chapter 20, because the Bible says on the first day of the week, this is Sunday morning, 3 days after Jesus was crucified, on the first day of the week, the Bible says Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put Him." Can I just stop right here? The first evangelist, the first messenger to declare a risen Savior was Mary Magdalene. Of all the people, right? Of all that she had gone through, she had a checkered past, but she had met Jesus. I want to just remind you this morning that if there's something about you that you think disqualifies you for telling the good news, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. I don't care what demons you had or what you've been delivered from. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your status in society. People may look down on you and say, you're the scum of the earth. You're not important in our circles. It doesn't matter what gender you are. If you have a message of resurrection to share, tell the story. Amen? Tell the story. If you've been redeemed, you're qualified to speak. Speak the story. Mary Magdalene came running to the disciples. He's not there. So we'll look at what the Bible says. Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. They were running together. The other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. That's a side story. How fast was Peter supposed to be here? I don't know. John outran him. Verse 5, stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first then also went in and saw and believed. Here's what I'm here to tell you today. Once the work of Jesus was completed on the cross, and once atonement had been made, he was buried in linen burial cloths. He entered death the way that the high priest entered the holy place, wearing linen. Both were stepping into a place connected to atonement, but the linen was left behind because the work was finished. There was no more need. He didn't need those burial clothes anymore. The work was done when he rose from the grave. I know today it can be so confusing. I know today that as we think about our status before God, we think about our stance before God, and we're tempted to think in terms of well, I've got all this guilt and I've got all this shame and I've got all these labels. And people make fun of me or people think less of me. Can I just remind you, please look at my face. Jesus did it all. Are you tracking with me today? Jesus paid it all. Every sin that you've ever committed, all the guilt, all the shame. I'm not just talking about stuff you did in the past. I'm talking about stuff you've yet to do. Jesus paid it all. When he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. So today, I want to make sure that we're getting this. You don't need a system of religion. You don't need man-made ideals. If anybody is telling you that it's Jesus plus something, they're telling you a lie. And you need to call it out and say, no, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He did it all. He paid it all. And when he burst out of the tomb, he left his burial clothes there. And if nobody had ever moved them, they'd be there to this day. You know why? Because he don't need burial cloths no more. He rose in a glorious resurrected body. He's seated at the right hand of God today. New life required new garments. Jesus never came back for those. And so here you have the contrast. You have the Old Testament high priest who managed sin year by year, and you have Jesus who defeated it once and for all. Here you have the old High Testament priest who returned to the tabernacle year after year, and here you have Jesus who rose from the grave once and for all. Here you have a high priest who stored his linen garments for reuse and they collected dust, but Jesus left his garments behind as a declaration. Atonement is done. Your sins are paid for. Nothing needs repeating. Romans 4:25 says, he, Jesus, was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. What that means is he shed his blood to pay the cost for our sins that had created a barrier between us and God. God created us. He longs for us to worship him and to be with him, but our sins have to be atoned for. In steps Jesus. He was delivered for our trespasses, and then Paul says he was raised for our justification. Justification means that you are declared righteous. You're declared innocent. That everything that you've ever done to create a barrier between you and God has been washed away by the blood of Christ. And when God looks at you, he sees his son. He sees his daughter. You've been declared righteous. Scripture doesn't just call us to believe in the resurrection, though. Scripture calls us to dress like it. And this is where we want to spend time today. Because here's the reality. I'm standing before you, and like I would say most of you, hopefully, I can tell you, Jesus saved me. Can you say that today? That Jesus delivered me. That I was sinking deep in sin, but in steps Jesus and plucks me out of the miry pit and sets my feet on a rock. I've been rescued by Jesus. And I hope you have today. And if you haven't, place faith. Trust him. Trust him. Trust the work that he did for you. Quit trying to make it to heaven on your own. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. You'll spend a lifetime of futility trying to be good enough. Nobody can. There was only one person who ever did. His name is Jesus. And he shed his blood for you. Trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And I can tell you right now that I've been saved. I've been delivered. I've been rescued. All the words you want to know. I'm justified. I have a right standing before God. I'm not saying I never mess up, but what I am saying is that when God looks at me, he sees a forgiven son. I've been adopted into God's family. I belong to him. Amen. I hope you do too. But here's the challenge. Sometimes I like to go back to the grave. Sometimes I'm tempted to put on my old uniform. Sometimes I'm tempted to go back and dwell in the shame of my past. Or I'm tempted to adopt some of those old patterns and those habits that I know are fruitless, but yet my flesh still wants to put them on like an old piece of garment. So I want to encourage you today. This is a put off and put on moment. It's time to put off the old, and it's time to put on the new. Ephesians chapter 4 says it like this. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, put off your old self. Everybody say put off. Put off your old self. It means just take it off and discard it, like Aaron did in the Holy of Holies, discard, like Jesus took off his linens before he busted out of the tomb. And oh, by the way, the linens were folded. Did you catch that? The linens were folded in there. Like he didn't have to escape. Like he wasn't in a hurry. The victims don't organize stuff. Robbers don't fold clothes. Jesus folded his garments, and that speaks calm victory. He stepped out. He stepped out. But I'm tempted to put on that old stuff. Paul says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. That word corrupt means decaying. It means it smells like death. Today I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, that sometimes I'm tempted to go back and put on clothes that smell like death, that smell like defeatism, that smell like corruption, that smell like lustful desires, and they'd get me nowhere. And not only do I smell like death, everybody who's around me starts smelling the stench of death in me. And Paul says, you got to put that stuff off. Put it off. Lay it aside because you know it's fruitless. And then he says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self. Everybody say, put on. Put on the new self. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, Jesus left the grave clothes. He delivered you from your sin. He was raised so that you don't have to live like sin still defines you. He folded the clothes because he finished the work, and what he left behind proves that the work is accomplished. It's almost as if when the disciples looked in that empty tomb and they saw the folded linens, it was like a receipt from heaven that said, paid in full. It's done. Nothing needs to be added to it or taken away from it. We have a holy work to accomplish. This is the year of worship. This is the year where God's doing amazing things. I hope you're on board. I hope you're ready. We have new areas to work. We have new kingdom advancement to pursue. There's people outside the walls of this building right now who are headed to hell. They're looking for abundant life, and here we are. We have the answer. And God is saying, we have a job, and let your worship be that testimony that brings them to Jesus. But listen, we can never take them where they need to go if we're always hanging around the grave. If we're always hanging around, we refuse to put on Christ in the new uniform. The question today is not, is the tomb empty? The question is, why are we still dressing in grave clothes? Today I want to encourage you, put off the old self, put on Christ. If we have been delivered and declared innocent, we should dress in our new clothes. Leave off old habits. Leave off old sin. Leave off old shame, old patterns and identities and labels. And I know it's hard because we live in a shame and honor society. We dwell amongst people who love to put us in categories or put us in labels. We go to school with people who are looking for any opportunity to shame us, to make fun of us. Can I just remind you, if you're a child of God, you are his son or daughter, he will never shame you. He will only honor you. Students, he will only honor you. Everybody else may shame you, and you may feel incomplete or incapacitated to make the difference that your flesh wants you to make. But when God looks at you, he's honored to call you his child. When he looks at you, he sees, this is my son that I pay such a high price for. I bought you with the blood of my son. Leave behind sin and shame today. Put on righteousness. Put on holiness. Put on a willingness that says, God, wherever you lead, I'm willing to follow. Wherever you guide me, whoever you put in my path, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to let my worship be an overflow that impacts the world around me. Put off the old, put on the new. This morning, I want to encourage you, don't wear what Jesus buried. Don't wear what Jesus buried. Jesus told it like this. He said, you don't put new wine into old wineskins. Because if you put new wine in an old wineskin, that old wineskin has lost its flexibility and it becomes brittle. And so as the new wine is fermenting, what happens? It bursts. And not only do you ruin the vessel, but you also ruin the wine. Instead, Jesus said, you put new wine into new wineskins. Church, I'm here to tell you, this is a new wine year for Genesis Metro. God is moving. God is doing something. I don't even know what it is, but I know he's doing something. I don't know where it's going to take us, but it's going to take somewhere that is holy, that is glorious, that is advancing his kingdom. And we are the vessels. We are the ones he's using, and we are the ones he's put our spirit in, and he's pouring into. But if we clothe ourselves with old wineskins, it ruins us and it wastes the wine. Let's don't waste the wine. It's the year of worship. I'm ready to go. Are you? Let's go. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for today, for your love and mercy. We don't deserve any of it. But you are merciful. That means you withhold your wrath, your anger from us. You're patient with us because you know we are weak. And you are gracious. Not only are you patient with us in our failures and our frailty and our weakness, but you shower us with things that we don't even deserve. When we think of all you've done, how can we respond in any way other than surrender and commitment to who you are and to what you will do? God, we lift high the name of Jesus today. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We exalt his name today because he's worthy. Because he humbled himself and became obedient. He wrapped himself in human flesh. And being found in the likeness of a man, he submitted himself to your will and became obedient. Even obedience that led him to the cross. And so, God, today we acknowledge because of who he is and because of what he did, you have highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for your glory, for your kingdom. Thank you for Jesus. We dress ourselves in your righteousness today. Let us not take it off. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.